This is The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh Blevins of Grace Calvary Chapel.
It's interesting to think of the Word of God in this context because here Paul is telling this group of believers, the Word of God is always there. It never changes, shows no favoritism. It's always there. But the very word that was designed to lead you into the promised rest of God, if you ignore it, is the same word that will condemn you in judgment.
Have you ever found yourself ignoring the Word of God? While it's not so often you might find yourself purposely going against it, it's pretty common to forget about it when times are difficult. Pastor Josh explains that the Word of God is unchanging, and that's, while it is there for you, it's also going to be used against you in judgment if you ignore it, conscientiously or not. Today, you'll hear about focusing on the Word of God in much greater detail on this episode of The Ascending Life. Now, here's Pastor Josh in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 as he begins his message, Jesus Has the Better Word.
When I was about 14 years old, my dad, who is a worship leader, he's a great songwriter, he had the opportunity to record an album of worship songs. The title track and the title of the album was Pierce My Heart. And he wrote this song, it was called Pierce My Heart, and the lyrics of the chorus simply went, Pierce my heart, Lord, change my ways. Let each moment that I live reflect your grace. Pierce my heart, Lord, help me see more and more of you each day inside of me. Very straightforward, simple, beautiful song. And I remember at a young age, young with the Lord, not really fully understanding everything about my faith, thinking about that title, Pierce My Heart. I mean, what if someone who knew nothing and no context of Jesus or God saw an album and a song called Pierce My Heart? They think it'd be like a death metal song about, death and slain and blood. I mean, who asks someone to take a knife and pierce their heart? And yet there's this, almost this subconscious knowledge, this inherent value that we as Christians, when we come to know the Lord, we begin to understand something that seems a little ironic. And that is that sometimes the best thing that can happen to us from God is when he wounds us. What do you mean, Josh? Wounds us? When he takes a sword and he puts it inside of us, and certain things that have to die, die. That certain things that are killing our spiritual life have to themselves be killed. And our author of Hebrews today leads us on a path to show us that that very weapon is nothing less than the Word of God and what it does in our hearts and what it does in our lives. Paul again is writing to Hebrew believers who are on the verge of being tempted to move away from their hope in Christ back to a system of legalism, of law, of sacrifices, the old covenant under Moses. And the author is saying there is a word of God that is calling you to faith, that is calling you out of unbelief. The living word, Jesus Christ, is speaking his truth to you today, and he's calling you, he's warning you. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not let God's word meet a heart of stone that is calloused because of sin and unbelief. And in verse 12, he tells us how powerful that word is, that word that he brought to them, that word that he's been speaking to them about the wilderness wanderers and their lack of belief and their lack of trust, and they fail to enter into God's promised rest because the word of God that they heard was not mixed with faith. And this is the warning. When the word of God comes to you so clearly and calls you to such action, to harden your heart against it, to rebel against it, to ignore it, is to come against a sword. And he states in verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Before we talk about the characteristics of God's word, as mentioned here, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the author referring to when he uses that phrase, ha theos logos, the word of God? What's he talking about? Well, as 21st century believers, we hear the phrase, the word of God, and immediately, what is the image that comes to your mind when I just say the word of God? It's the Bible. You and I think of that because we call this the word of God. And it is the very word of God. These books, Old Testament and New, the law, the prophets, the apostles' doctrine, Jesus being at the center of it all, has been not only God-breathed, which means directly inspired by, prophetically by God through man, to man, but preserved throughout the ages through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the church, to bring his perfect communication and will and heart to us today. We rightfully call this the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says it like this. He says, the church is the household of the living God. And what is the household of God built on? It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the New Testament and the Old Testament. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus Christ brings us this cohesiveness between the Old and the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit is actively speaking through the preserved word that we hold in our hands here today. But here's what I want to warn us against. When the author here writes, ha logos theos, the word of God, he is thinking of John chapter 1, verse 1 at the same time, isn't he? In the beginning was the, and the word was, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the living word of God? Jesus. He died, he rose again, he's alive forevermore. You might remember back in Hebrews chapter 1 how he starts off the whole book. In various times, God, in times past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. And in various times, in various ways, he has spoken. But today, now, he speaks to us through Jesus, the living word of God. You see, this book that you hold, if Jesus wasn't alive today, you'd be doing nothing more than studying fairly interesting history. And I find it interesting because there are scholars who spend their whole life in biblical study. They teach college courses on the Bible. They don't believe in God. They don't have a living Jesus living in them. But they will know the Bible backward and forward more than you and I put together. And yet the simply the words on the pages haven't necessarily changed their life, converted their heart, because the word is Jesus bringing life to the things that are written in this book. I'll sum it up like this. The written word, which is the Bible, is animated or brought to life by the living word, who is Jesus, who actively communicates today by the Holy Spirit. We might think of it in terms of a succession. When we open our Bible and we read a part of the scripture, we can't merely approach it academically. You understand? There are academic things to learn about the Bible, historical things, archaeological things, apologetic wonderful, incredible things we need to learn academically. But we are actually approaching, through the written word, the living word. And when we open this, Jesus takes what we read and he, by the Holy Spirit, starts to speak to us. You. The very things that are in this book come to life through the living Jesus who is actively instructing you on what's going on with you right now, right here. You guys, there's no other word that has that kind of power or that kind of life. But it's important that we speak here in terms, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he told us that the things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Here, Paul is giving the word of God to the Hebrew believers. He's giving them the word from the Old Testament, and he's saying Jesus is the fulfillment of that word, and Jesus is still speaking to you through that word today. Don't harden your hearts when you hear him. It's interesting to think of the word of God in this context, because here Paul is telling this group of believers, the word of God is always there. It never changes, shows no favoritism. It's always there. But the very word that was designed to lead you into the promised rest of God, if you ignore it, is the same word that will condemn you in judgment. And so with that in mind, we think of the word of God being powerful. We're talking about the Bible, but more importantly, we're talking about what Jesus speaks to us through the Bible. You guys following me? Not merely an academic study, but an interaction with a living word of God who is speaking us to us through the written word. That's an important thing to understand. And here the author displays the word of God as an instrument of war, sword of the Spirit. So we're going to look at 3 points this morning as we dive deeply into the passage. If you're taking notes, jot down our first observation. What does Paul say here about the nature of God's word? The nature of God's word, or you might say the characteristic of God's word. Verse 12 will state the obvious. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So point number one under the nature of God's word is simply this. The word of God is living. It is alive. In John chapter 6, Jesus said it is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And then Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. The word of God has a unique characteristic above any other written work ever penned by any other human being, in that the word of God can renew and convict and bring spiritual life into a human being. I mean, there have been countless Sundays where someone tells me, who told you what I was going through? You don't know, that message was for me today. Well, I certainly don't know what you're going through. I don't sit there all week on Facebook and Instagram looking at what I can say to who to make sure I get the right message. No, what I do is I trust that the living word is going to speak through the written word and say something to the people of God who need to hear from him. And that's exactly what happens. Why? Because there's a vibrance, a life to God's word. Growing up, my dad, he used to have this practice. He would take his Bible, he'd read it from front to back and put his notes on every page, and then he'd give it away to somebody and he'd start over. I think he's on his 10th or 11th Bible. And the Bible he has now, it's engraved, you know, like you can get it engraved, and it doesn't have his name. It says, danger, explosive material. I love that. Every time I look at that, The Word of God is not like a book that simply stimulates your mind or provokes your emotions. It is a word that once it enters into you, begins to become active. The word life or living, zeo in the Greek, it means fresh, strong, powerful, efficacious. If your Bible is boring to you, there's a good chance that maybe you're not actively engaging the living word as much as you are simply reading words on paper. Just checking off my list, you know. Going through the 1 year Bible. Okay, I read it, check. I'm reading the Bible. Do you know the Bible says never says read your Bible. Never. I grew up with this phrase, right? Read your Bible and pray every single day. It's a great little pithy phrase to live by. Love it. But the Bible never says read your Bible. It uses language like meditate day and night. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. See, the word of God is to be engaged with, interacted with. God, what are you saying? How do you want this to transform me? And that word brings life, which is no wonder Paul gives Timothy, one of the most important pastoral words of advice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where he simply says, Timothy, preach the word. Don't preach philosophy. Don't preach the 10 next steps to your better life now. Don't preach the things that people want to hear because their ears need to be tickled so they can go away feeling better about themselves. Don't preach the things that you think will be effective to grow the church. Preach the word. Why? Because your wisdom can't change the hearts of people. Your creative little stories and statements can't free someone from the power of sin. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all patience and teaching. And here, Paul says that the word of God is living. There was a phrase in ancient times. There were certain laws referred to as dead laws, okay? And a dead law was basically a law that was on the books to sort of intimidate the populace, but there was never any intentional follow-through on that law. It had become a law that technically exists, but still somewhat irrelevant. There's a legal term today called the dead word or the dead letter. It's a law that is on the books, but it's not enforced and it's outdated. Here's a few examples. Today, it is illegal in Alaska to get drunk in a bar. I don't know how well they're enforcing that, you know. You are not allowed in Arkansas to mispronounce the word Arkansas. It's a law. In Gainesville, Georgia, it's illegal since 1961 to eat fried chicken with anything other than your fingers. I'm not joking. The city I pastored in Georgia, Kennesaw, there was a law on the books that every homeowner had to own a gun. Probably not a bad idea these days, but. In Maryland, you can get a $100 fine for swearing or cursing while driving. I'm just trying to figure out how they enforce that, right? The cop he's watching you in your car, and if your mouth looks like you say a curse word, how does that even work? And in Wyoming, you aren't allowed to buy anything from someone who is drunk. So, you know, what are these? These are dead laws. The opposite is a living law. A living law is one that if it's not obeyed or heeded, you face the full force of the legal system against you. And here, the author communicates to us that God's word is living. It's not dead. It's not an antiquated book of rules. It's not interesting history. It is active and living today. One cannot ignore God's word without consequences. God doesn't turn a blind eye to those who hear his word and willingly rebel against it. The word of God, we're told, governs the universe. Everything, every atom, every molecule is held in place today by the word of God, Jesus Christ. One can no more jump off a roof and escape the law of gravity than they can hear the word of God, ignore it, and expect to escape its consequences. Seven times in the book of Revelation, Jesus uses this phrase, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Do we have ears today to let the living word of God have its perfect work in our lives? Second thing about the nature of God's word is that simply it is powerful. It is living. It is powerful. The word powerful here is important. It's where we derive the English word energy or energetic or activity. That means it's always at work. Isaiah 55, 11. God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is always actively working when it goes out. It can't be taken back, and it starts its work as immediately as it enters in to the heart of a person. But God's word is not powerful in the English emotional sense, right? We say, "Oh, did you see that movie? It was so powerful. Did you read that article? It was so powerful." And what we mean is that we were emotionally moved by it. Now, God's word is powerful in that way. I've been emotionally moved many times by God's word. But that's not what the word implies here. The word powerful has a sense of authority. When he says his word is powerful, full of power, actively at work in an authoritative way, what he's saying is, what happens when there's nothing and nothing hears the word of God say, "Let there be," fill in the blank, "and there is"? That's powerful. What happens when a storm hears the word of God say, "Peace, be still"? It stops. What happens when a broken body from birth hears the living word say, "Your sins are forgiven you. Get up and walk"? His sins are forgiven him, and he gets up and walks. That's power. God's word has the power to do things in our life and in our hearts that are unthinkable.
That's all we have time for on today's edition of The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh Blevins. Thanks for tuning in. The Ascending Life is a ministry of Grace Calvary Chapel in St. Joseph, Missouri. And our prayer is that today's message from the book of Hebrews impacted your faith journey in a mighty way. If you have any questions about today's message or would like to connect for other reasons, feel free to give us a call at 816-279-2090. That number again is 816-279-2090. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear others like it from Pastor Josh, just visit theascendinglife.com and click on Media. You can watch our YouTube channel, read our blog, or listen to our podcast. Or, better yet, visit us in person. We meet each Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m. and would love to have you join us. At Grace Calvary Chapel, we believe in awakening people to the love, truth, and power of God. If you're looking for a place where you can experience the love, truth, and power of God, we'd love to be that space for you. All are welcome, so come just as you are. For directions and other information about who we are and what we believe in, visit theascendinglife.com. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram to receive daily encouragement too. Well, that's it for today. But thanks again for tuning in to today's message with Pastor Josh. Join us again next time to learn more from the mighty book of Hebrews right here on The Ascending Life. We're reaching up, we're pressing